This morning I would like to share a phrase that in the Bible mentioned several times about "Here am I." So I would like to just share briefly with you. Mainly, God say "Here am I" to those they are Gentile, they are not Christian, they don't know God. And then God also say, "Here am I," to His own people, to Israel, Israelite. And God also say, "Here am I," to many other people. And God also expect us to respond to Him, "Here am I." This is so important because we are Christian. We are not just having some knowledge about God, know some Bible teaching or the theological argument. We are here to follow Him. We are here to serve Him. So God expects us to be, working with Him all the time and to sense His calling and His will in our life. So we need to live it out. So that is so important. So when I read Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1 and 2, these two verses, let's read together. "I revealed myself to those who do not ask me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I say, 'Here am I, here am I.' All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in a ways not good." Okay, we can continue on. But the first verse, basically, God was talking to those people that did not ask for Him. That means those people, they didn't know God and they didn't pray to God. And those people, they didn't seek Him. When they have need, they have problems, they have difficulties, they need help, because they didn't realize that there is a God who is loving and then caring God and is able to help. They didn't know this God, so they didn't seek Him. And to a nation that did not call on my name. The whole nation, probably they have their own idols or gods, so they didn't know that there is a God, the creator, the God that is there, always willing to help. And so, first verse end by our Lord say, "Here am I, here am I." This is so comforting because every day we mix around with people. And a lot of people, they need some help. They need, to be understood because they struggle in their life. They have a lot of questions. They need help. So where can they get the help? When I read this verse, I'm so touched because our God, He is so great and yet He is so detailed. You just imagine. When we think about ourselves, and then when you think about God love me, how can we put it in a perspective that we really understand that God say, "Here am I." God love us. It's so powerful. It's so important. Just imagine God created the universe. And then part of the universe is the earth. So you see, if you are standing at the moon there and look back to the universe, how big is the earth? It's a tiny thing. And then God is looking to the earth and then He sees you and He wants to love you. He wants to speak to you, saying that, here am I. I know that you have problems, you have difficulties. Here am I. I'm willing to help you. I'm willing to show you the right way. I'm willing to show you, the way to the Lord, that you will receive blessing, you will receive comfortable, you will receive the right guidance for you. And just imagine that God look from the universe and look at the tiny earth, tiny, probably just like the point of the needle, so tiny. And yet on this tiny point, where is America? Even smaller. And then when you think about America, when you talk about Colombia, basically we couldn't find it because it's so tiny. And then if you couldn't find Colombia, how can somebody find you? And God said to you, to me, saying that, here am I love you, I care for you. So this is so powerful, because every time when I think about God's love, I just realize that I'm nothing. Because basically, in the universe, I'm less than one tiny dust, you know. It's just, we are nothing. And yet, we human beings, we boast. We want to be God. We want to be, you know, the greatest. And yet, we face problems all the time. All the time. We have difficulty to, you know, to adjust to the weather. We have difficulty to wake up on a Sunday morning. We have difficulty to stay on a job. We have difficulty to keep a relationship with people. We have all kinds of difficulties. God say, you didn't ask me, because you don't know me. You didn't seek me. You don't know me. And you don't call on my name, because you don't know me. And yet God come to us and say, here I am. I can help you. It's so powerful. So as Christians, we need to realize that this is God's desire for people. And we need to reach out to people. We may not go to people and say that, okay, you need to accept Jesus Christ. But at least we need to come to them and say that, look, you know how God loves us. You know, we share the love of God with them. And so the people will know if they have problems, if they have needs, who are they going to call to? Here am I. It's so powerful. Of course, the first verse mainly talk about, you know, those people, they don't know God. And second verse and onward, God turned around and talked to his own people. You know, his own people. Because those people, even they know God, they run into difficulties also, problems also. A lot of problems. So God also tell them that, here am I. So, the verse, start from verse 2, God is talking to Christians or to those people, they know God. We need to repent. We need to come before God and say to God, you know, we need your help. We need you. We cannot go on our own life with our own desire, with our own plan. We need you. So this is so important. You know, whenever I read the Bible, I just felt like, you know, any verse that mentioned that God speaks or God talks to someone, I'm very excited. Because just imagine, who are we? You know, we were so tiny, so almost nothing, nobody, and yet God came and loved us and talked to us. That is so amazing, you know, fact. So I mentioned about on my outline, I mentioned about God, you know, approach. God came to Abraham and to Moses. You know, those verses, I think in the past I mentioned those also. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. If our God came to, you know, to Abraham, and then he said in the verse saying that God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. That means Abraham replied, here I am. And just, you know, like Exodus chapter 3 verse 4, God called him from within the bush, Moses, and Moses said, here I am. It's so interesting, it's so powerful, because when people respond to God, say, here I am, something special happened. What happened? We just look at the life of Abraham. What stories you want to tell about Abraham? There are a few things about Abraham we love to repeat and tell everybody, to the children, to the Sunday school students, to whoever. One of the things is Abraham respond to God, say, here I am, in Genesis chapter 22. Then God test him and asked him to offer his son, his begotten son, his promised son, as a burning sacrifice. That was something is not reasonable. That was something beyond our understanding. But this is, you know, the beauty of it, because when we say, here I am, God is going to you know, use us. God is going to direct our life into a very high level that we, after experience those kind of things, after we obey Him, God is going to, you know, really speak to our life, so that God is no more just a kind of a thought in our mind, but actually is someone. We experience that God is so true, God is alive. We can walk with God, we can talk with God, we can just hold hands with Him and then just, you know, enjoying His company, you know. And then we are so encouraged because we know that even though there are a lot of things happening in this world, it's out of our control. But this God, He understands, He is with me. So that's so important. So brothers and sisters, make this our belief in our God a real thing in our life, not just something that we know yet, you know, not much experience. We need to cross the line. We need to cross the line. Cross the line of understanding God to the line of experiencing God. How can we experience God? Basically, you know, from Abraham, from Moses, we know that when God calls us, we respond to Him. We don't know what God is going to, you know, to speak to us if we respond to Him. But just by faith, every time when we respond to Him, and God is going to lead us into another level of spiritual experience. So this is so important. It's so important. So every time when I think about Abraham and Moses, I admire them. I say, wow, great person. This is a great Bible character. But at the same time, God asked me, why am I then? You can be one, not necessarily great like them, but you can be one that you experience God, and then you can tell people saying that my God is true, because, you know, the way He guide me, he you know, the way I experience who He is. So brothers and sisters, this is so important. I always just challenge myself and a brother and sister, never satisfy to be a Christian only. Never. We need to be a follower of Jesus, walk with Him. And then we need to try our best by His grace when we hit the limit, when we hit the wall, and we realize that this is the end of my ability. And that is the point that determines whether we experience God or not. Because if we turn around, we say, I quit, you know, I tried my best, I couldn't do it, then we turn around, we miss the opportunity to experience God's hand. You know, God is just, you know, stretching His hand saying, come, you know, child, come. You just cross the line, then I will do, you know, those you cannot do. Then we experience Him. So whenever we hit the wall, you make a decision, say, I turn around, I quit, or I just step one more step by faith. That makes the difference. So every time when I see Abraham, when God tests him, to me, I probably will turn around, because there are so many good reasons that I say, God, you are crazy. No, this is impossible. How can you promise me a son, and now you ask me to sacrifice him as a burning sacrifice? That means kill him. It's not like offering him to be a pastor or missionary. It's different. Abraham, at that, you know, crucial point, he took one step in submission to accept the Lord's challenge, and he obeyed. That's why God, you know, was so excited, because He saw Abraham by faith to another step, not questioning his guidance. And God, you know, immediately do something. They changed the whole life of Abraham, or changed the whole story. So brothers and sisters, those are so important. So important. What I'm saying is, you know, when I respond to God many, many years ago, say, God, here am I. God has done in my life? I mean, I just felt like, you know, it's a lot of experience, a lot of amazing things happened in my life. You know, of course, many other people have greater experience, but to me, my God is so real. It's so real. you know, recently, when I say recently, in the past, you know, 5-10 years, my heart is somehow was drawn to works, you know, mobilizing and then, you know, try to encourage people to reach out to the Muslim people. You know, this is a very unpopular ministry. When I say unpopular, why? Because basically, people think about serving the Lord. There are three areas so important. One is, you know, evangelizing. Okay, so important because there are so many, they need the Lord. So this is so important. And second is ministry to the Christians. We Christians, we have a lot of challenges. So we need to teach about how to work with God, how to be a mature Christian, how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, how to live a life that glorifies God as husband or as wife or father or mother or brother and sisters or friends. We need a lot of teaching in this area. But remember, those two areas basically talking about the need of human. Now, when we take another step into another level, that's the something that people feel like that is not my concern. And that is the area that is very difficult. You know, sharing with a lot of churches about the need of the Muslim, most of the time they have the feeling like, wow, you know, that is a special call for someone to do that. It's not for the congregation, it's not for the church. Why you preach to the church? Why you preach to the church? But when I respond to God, say, here am I, I realize that God has His hand in it, His plan in it. So I just share a little bit. Last month I was in Asia. Okay, I was in Taiwan for 8 days. I didn't have ministry on the first day because just arrived. And then last day, because it was a Taiwan National Day, so I say don't arrange any meeting. So I had 6 days. This was my first trip to Taiwan to serve. Basically, I know no one. And they arranged 15 service meeting for me. 4 seminaries, and then different kinds of meeting. That was crazy. What I want to say is, at first I thought, well, first, they don't know me. Second, I'm talking about reaching the Muslim. So how many people will respond to that? You just can't imagine. I don't know how many people I spoke to. But a group of people just follow me one meeting after another meeting. I said, please don't come. Because if you come, then you listen to the same thing, then you complain, saying that, can you say something new? So, sorry, I say, this is my first trip, so... But anyway, people respond to that very well, very well. I'm so touched. When I say here am I, and I just obey God and try to do what He wants me to do. At first, I thought, well, not many people they will be interested in knowing about Muslim or knowing about how to reach out to them. Even the few people they try to organize for me, they just saying that, well, we are not sure if people come or not. Well, you know, just by faith. So that was Taiwan. And then the second country was Malaysia. So I went back to Malaysia. I served in 3 cities. And then I did have a few days off. So I went back home 3 days. And 3 days, I told my mom, I said, I'm not going out. Okay, I'm going to sit with you. Because my mom, she is quite old. She was paralyzed for 10 years already, so very weak. So basically, I spent time just, you know, most of the time with her. I just wait until a time that she is ready to talk to me, because she is so weak. And then she usually just sit there, and you know, I talk to her. She may respond a little bit, may not. So I wait for 3 days, and God bless me, was half an hour. My mom stopped talking, laughing. Immediately I took out my camera, I took picture for her. I say, I wait for 3 days, finally you start, you know, talking. something that is about, you know, something, anything. I mean, she was happy, so I took picture. I was so blessed, you know, so I pushed her out, you know, in the morning, you know, because she didn't get sunlight enough. I mean, you know, so it's very weak, so I pushed her. But she was very, very happy in a sense, and she slept well in that few days, and she ate very well. So I was glad. So next year, our whole family will go back to spend Chinese New Year with them, with my family. The last time our family went back was 1995, so it has been 19 years. That was very, very blessed by God. The third country I want to share with you and pray for this country. The country is Brunei. I'm not sure how many of you know Brunei. Brunei is a tiny country, 225,000 population, tiny country. But probably each village had a few petrol pumps. You know, they have a lot of petrol, and they have a lot of natural gas. So it's a very rich country, but the country is dominantly Muslim. So the king is Sultan. So it's very rich country. So they invite me to speak on their mission conference. The main purpose was they want me to conduct some seminary and talk about Islam. Last year they mentioned, the pastor mentioned to me, she said, can you come and help us? Because Islam is coming into our church. So I say, what do you mean by that? She say, okay, some children, they receive Islamic study in school, but she has no idea how serious or how things happen. So this time, I conduct two and a half hours seminar on the Saturday afternoon. You know, they arranged it, they encouraged people to come. Not many people came. But it wasn't a big, you know, number, around 35 to 30, 40 people. It was okay. And at first they thought, well, why we need to know about Islam? I mean, you know, we have been in this country for years. So the first 45 minutes introduction, I mentioned something, and then had a key break. And I was so curious because on the second row, there was a child, you know, so young, that he came to the seminar. All are adults. Why the young boy came? So immediately, during people having tea, I talked to the boy. I say, you know, do you understand what I'm talking about? He said, yeah, I study in school. I said, well, can you tell me some about what did you study at school? So he stopped talking about he has Quran, a course in Quran, a course in Islamic theology, and then a course in Islam, Muslim prayer. So I say, do you participate in all those, especially the Muslim prayer? He said, no, I don't, but some other people, they do, even they are not Muslim. So I say, can you tell me what kind of question that the teachers, you know, ask you during the exam? Then he started explaining. And I thought, this is serious. This is serious. So, after people came back from a tea break, I said, okay, let me start with an interview. So I asked the boy to come out. I asked him questions. And then he started telling what happened in the school. And the father was the first one shocked by what the son said. Because they didn't know about it. The child go back home and start saying something, the parents just say, you know, like they never thought about it. They don't understand, they don't know about Islam, nothing. Basically, just they don't have anywhere to talk about it. When they come back to the Sunday school, when they try to bring out the issue, and the Sunday school teacher, they don't know about it. So the children, they don't talk in church. So, you see, the religion came into the church because the children had 5 days in school and 1 hour in church. And how many of them can stand firm on their faith? Probably very little chance. Very little chance. And the same church, On Saturday night after my sermon, one young sister came. She is in university. She said, "Pastor, why those my classmates all telling me the same thing?" I said, "Tell me more about it." She said, "One from Uganda, one from Nigeria, one from Egypt, one from Saudi Arabia or somewhere. You know, they was, you know, students from overseas. Why all of them start telling her the same thing, like, you know, you need to become Muslim because, you know, Christianity, you are wrong in this area, in this area." She said, "Everybody told me the same thing." So the more I ask, the more I realize Muslims, they are training missionary to go out as students, as any kind of professional people, to just, you know, to any corner of the world. Brunei is so tiny country, and yet they have, you know, quite a good number of those kind of students coming from different countries. They were trained, saying the same thing, and try to convert non-Muslim into, you know, become Muslim. So that was the situation. When I heard about that, I say, "Wow, that's serious." So on Sunday after my preaching, one brother, almost 60 years old, came to me saying, "Pastor, do you know what? I'm the only one left in the family is not Muslim." I said, what do you mean by that? He said, "My children go to school, they make friends with Muslims, and they got married, and they were converted. All the children, all my grandchildren, all became Muslim. And his wife died, so he himself is the only one not Muslim." I just say, "Wow, that is so serious." So the pastor told me, "Can you come back next year at least twice? Help us to go through, you know, this, you know, talk about it, and we need to come up a resolution. How we're going to face that?" So brothers and sisters, those are coming into the church, coming into the family. Those are serious. I thought that only Brunei like that. So when I was in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, the last weekend, when I preached, and people came to me and talk about things, quite similar thing. It's not as serious as that, but it's coming. It's coming. So brothers and sisters, we just look at, the whole world. Most Islam, they are taking so-called Islamized the whole world so seriously. And yet we Christian, we talk about, you know, our own need all the time. I just felt like, you know, how can we be satisfied 100% before we start caring for other people? How can we do that? We just can't. We just can't. No church can be really satisfied saying that our church is good enough, so now we should care about those non-Christians. There is no way to do that. Because as long as we open the door, people working, every people, we have our own difficulty, we need help. And there is no end of that. So we need to just let go of what probably we need. We may not be satisfied with our own situation. But just remember, those they are going towards everlasting perishing. They are, you know, they need to hear about Jesus Christ. So this trip, when I answered to God, "Here am I," I just felt that God is leading me into a direction. As the, you know, Reverend Thomas Wang, he mentioned to me several years ago, he said, "Your ministry probably is very pioneer work. That means very, you know, at the front line, and not many people really understand what you are doing and want to, you know, be part of the ministry. Very, very few people understand that." But I praise the Lord because I see more churches, when I share with them, they see, you know, they are willing to respond. That is very encouraging for my Asian trip. So start from next year, I'm going to, you know, Emily and I will be full-time in this ministry. It's, you know, we are excited about it. And then we know that God is going to do something. And then basically we pray to God that when we mobilize, we train, we'll see more people staying up. Pastors, church leaders, or just brothers and sisters, whoever, stand up and would like to share more about the need and ask people to pray for this 1.3, 1.5, 1.7 billion of population. This is a huge field, mission field, and I pray that we will see more people that are willing to be trainer, so-called trainer. When I train people, and people they feel like I want to share the method, the strategy, how to reach out to the Muslim, to other people, then you know, I hope we can see more trainer to join me to serve together as a team. So just pray for us as we are moving into this direction. I don't know how many years we have ahead of us. I don't know what will happen, but I believe that God has been leading us in this direction for years. So we are committed to serving in this direction, in this ministry, the rest of our life. So that's why we need your prayer. Financially, I hope our church will support Wing and Peter more, because they know not many people like us. We know more people. So I don't worry about our finance duration too much. We may not reach 100% by January, but I don't think we'll be too far away. So just pray for them, because they have the same heart for the Lord, reaching out to the Muslim people. And I do 1 hour, per Wednesday before the prayer meeting with them, just prepare them for this ministry. So pray for this. Yeah. So this is what I want to share with you. Respond to God. You know, your life is so unique, it's so significant, it's so important in the eyes of God. How are you going to spend your life? You know, we need to come before Him and ask Him, Lord, here am I. Just show me. Let me know what you want me to do. So may God, you know, just bless those who not only listen, but also respond to Him. Say, God, here am I. Speak to me. I believe that He will. So let's go to prayer. And also this prayer is also a prayer for the offering. I would like to include this on the bulletin from now on. We don't pass the offering bag, but we do have offering box at the back or at the kitchen there. So offering is actually part of the worship. If we read the Bible well enough, we know that this is part of our worship. So let's worship Him with offering. So let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you again, because all that we have is from you. And then Lord, you want us to learn how to be thankful, how to just give back what you have for us, at least part of it to your ministry, to see that the money is well used, and also be a blessing to many other people through the church, through brothers and sisters, through missionaries. We just want to thank you and pray the Lord you accept our offering, and also may the offering be a blessing to many also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.